Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
Always fun to talk to Farhan Zaidi, especially after a sweep in Coors. I've been saying they don't normally play well there. I'm going to stick with that.
Do we have to leave Coors?
I'm going to keep sticking with that. They don't play well there. They just don't play well in Coors. What's going on, Farhan?
What's up, man?
Hey, no, it was a good series. And, you know, no matter how well you're playing, you always get pretty shifty in the ninth inning when you're protecting a 1-2 run lead. So Camilo did a great job closing the last two games. And, yeah, great series for us.
How about the fact, other than Manaea, and I don't even really consider him a bullpen guy. He's kind of like a hybrid starter bullpen guy. If I don't put him in the bullpen didn't give up a run in the entire series in Coors. I mean, that is insane that the bullpen, other than him, and again, I'm not counting him because he's not a true bullpen guy, they didn't give up one run in three games. I mean, that's literally impossible.
Yeah, I mean, they just did a phenomenal job. They've been on a great run here the last few weeks. And, you know, we talk a lot about our playoff aspirations and the win today and yesterday. Those are games that, you know, playoff-bound teams win. You know, the ability to script the flip on a game that really isn't going your way early and to just stick with it and scrap a few runs and keep putting up zeros on the board. Those wins are huge. And again, the bullpen, we don't get back in those games unless the bullpen comes in and shuts the opposition down, which, you know, they deserve huge credit for our ability to come back the last 2 days.
Well, I told Copes, I thought, I won't say the biggest play of the game because there's a bunch of big plays in the game, but I thought one of the biggest plays in the game happened in the first inning with the strikeout of Castro, because another hit, that's 6-1, and I'm not sure if Kapler lets him go through the order a second time. He gets that strikeout, then he gets Doyle out and gets out of the inning 4-1, and he gets to stay in the game.
Absolutely. I totally agree, and it was a little bit more notable yesterday, but, you know, Conforto making that grab kind of saved Webby and saved that game. So you're right. Like, just the ability to stop the bleeding when you're having one of those Coors Fields innings, whether it's a big strikeout or a big defensive play, is huge. So I totally agree with you, keeping them right there. Otherwise, it's just a totally different story. And we're probably using different pitchers, and there's probably just less of a confidence that you can come back.
Well, and that's what we were kind of talking about as we're talking to Farhan on the UMA guest line, is that Cobb going five, like if he doesn't get out of that there and he gives up, I mean, maybe it becomes a 6 or a 7 run inning and it gets out of hand a little bit, then you got to go to the bullpen in the first inning. And then all that great favor you've curried in the first couple of days by saving the pen a little bit through Colorado can unravel quickly at the beginning of what's a long stretch here. So I thought that was key. He got a little nicked up today. Do we have a status? I know they said it was a did he have a strain in a glute or something? I know he stayed in the game. He looked like he was arguing with Greschner for a minute to stay in, and they left him out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching with everyone else, and definitely the last two or three pitches he threw, he looked like he was favoring it when he was kind of swinging his leg around. But the reports after the game is he was feeling better. We're hopeful that he can stay on turn and make his next start. You know, that was probably more his competitive spirit than how he's feeling physically in the moment. But fortunately, it was trending in a good way after the game.
Yeah, that's a guy we need up at the top. And I know he moved up to make the start today. And so what's great about, I think, what's happened over the last month is when we talked to you at the end of, I think it was the end of April, going into May, or May going into June, actually, we were talking about what needed to be corrected. And I think there's a lot of things that have sort of stabilized, and they've sort of shown that they can, you talked about the come from behind wins. They've got more of an eclectic offense, I think, than for the first month of the season, where they're not relying on the home run. Didn't homer in the series until today. 8 doubles the other day, a suicide squeeze yesterday, which was fantastic. So I feel like sometimes when you can win different ways, you take pressure off of stuff that's not maybe performing as well. And I look at the starting rotation right now and I go, that's the one element that's a little bit unstable. Where are you guys going with guys like Stripling and Manaea? Is there a plan to map this out? I know we talked Kyle Harrison a little bit about the limited pitch counts in the minors, but what's the strategy or the thought process heading into the summer here with the rotation?
Yeah, obviously Webb and Cobb have done a great job for us at the top of the rotation. You know, Desclafani's been solid. He's had, you know, a couple more crooked numbers lately, but we love the fact that he comes in and throws strikes, and the way we're playing defensively and with his stuff, we think he's going to continue to throw the ball well. So, yeah, I mean, with Wood and Stripling on the IL, the fourth and fifth spots have been a little bit more up in the air. You know, Manaea is sort of operating as a starter. I mean, he's giving us four or five innings every time he goes out there. We started opening for him just to take a little bit of the pressure off, and sometimes guys actually get into more of a groove and can kind of work their way into the game better behind an opener. And you know, it's sort of one of those things where if it's working, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, there's some notion that if a guy pitches well, you know, you have him go back to, you know, starting without an opener. And if he doesn't do well, then, well, maybe the opener is screwing him up and you go back to that. So, you know, either way, you know, you wind up trending back to that. But as long as, you know, Sean is pitching big chunks of the game and he feels good about where he is, you know, that strategy, you know, can help in a number of ways. We've seen a couple of games lately where we used an opener and teams either committed to a certain lineup look early and then wound up using pinch hitters very early in the game and then, you know, didn't have moves to make later in the game. So it's just a tough thing to manage again. So, you know, we may keep him in that role. We may get him back to starting. And then, you know, to your point, you know, Kyle Harrison, Tristan Beck, who's on the pitching staff right now, has done a nice job for us. We've got Sean Jelly and Keaton Wynn in Sacramento too. So we have some other options if Alex Wood and Ross Stripling take a little bit more time to get back. But, you know, we have the depth options. We'd certainly love for somebody like a Kyle Harrison to come up and grab one of those spots and, you know, be pitching more at the front of the rotation than the middle or the back. But, you know, we'll just see how he does start. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic, but we still think he's got a couple things to work on.
Did the computer start smoking a little bit on that squeeze play last night?
I loved it. I mean,
so did I. I thought it was player, awesome.
It was awesome.
Any time you're bunting, whether it's for a hit or if it's a, you know, squeeze play with first and third, I mean, that's one of the hardest plays to defend in baseball. So, you know, I'm not always on our two outs, nobody on bunt attempts. You know, even if you get a hit, it's, you know, I'm not sure where you're going with that. But any first and third situation with almost anybody up there, I love it because, you know, if you get the bunt down, you're almost definitely getting the run in, you know, and it's hard to turn around and even get the out at first. So a lot of times, you know, like the play yesterday, you wind up with everybody safe. So I loved it, and the computer liked it too. So
good, I'm glad.
Good with all around.
I'm glad the computer liked it.
Checked
in. I don't want to get too far into the because I know I have a tendency to get too far into the analytics rabbit hole with you. It's kind of fun to talk about that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I do have some other stuff I want to ask. But I do want to ask you this because I just thought about it. Is there anything, because analytics are just numbers, and numbers are always changing, so the analytics can change from time to time. Is there anything, like, early on with the analytics that you guys thought, this is the way to go about it, and maybe it's changed in the last 5-8 years or so, where it's like, now you go about something maybe a little bit differently than you would have, or you think about something a little bit differently than you did 5 or 8 years ago? And if so, are there any examples of that?
Yeah, I think a good example of that is bullpen roles. You know, there was sort of this movement towards closer by committee and, you know, having a fully flexible bullpen and using guys at any point in the game. And, you know, a lot of that was quote-unquote analytically driven because there was a feeling like, hey, when you're up 3 runs in the 9th inning, is that a more important inning than when you know, the game is tied in the 7th and the middle of the order is coming up? And so, you know, there was this notion of, hey, let's use our quote-unquote closer in the biggest spot in the game rather than just in the 9th. And, you know, that didn't have a happy ending for that narrative because you know, relievers are, you know, like all baseball players are creatures of habit. They like to know when they're going to pitch. The team has confidence you know, a closer when you have someone established in that role like we have with Doval now. And, you know, are there times when, you know, it would be tempting to use Camilo, you know, in the seventh inning with the bases loaded, nobody up, and the middle of the order of the other team coming up? Sure. But, you know, that winds up, you know, I think everybody's found that that's a little bit more disruptive than, you know, maybe it looks like you're gaining an advantage on paper. So that's just one example that I can think of. And when you look at our bullpen now, you know, you've got guys in certain roles. They pitch it. You know, it's almost like when you're watching the game, you kind of can think along with Cap on who's coming in.
Yeah, no, I think that makes perfect sense. And look, that would have made perfect sense if baseball players were androids and they didn't have emotions. You just throw them in there and you'd be good to go and it'd be easy. But yeah, the human emotion kind of gets in the way of it a little bit. The one thing I did want to ask you about, because I'm curious about this, you guys got a little bit, I don't know if you have an issue with it because sometimes things tend to work out, but if Casey Schmidt is staying, which I'm assuming he is, but I don't know, you got Davis at third, Crawford at short, Tyro at second. How are you going to find enough playing time, enough at bats for all those guys? And where does the rub come? Does it come at shortstop with Schmidt, and or does Schmidt kind of fill in for everybody and try to get at bats? How do you see that foresee it working itself out?
Yeah, I think it's been nice because it's given us an opportunity to give guys days off. And you look at somebody like Craw, we think that, you know, keeping him fresh is really important. So, you know, he's not at the stage of his career where he's a 140, 150 game guy anyway. You know, some of the other guys have been banged up at times. JD needs off days. Styro, obviously, just coming off of the wrist injury. And, you know, that was one of the reasons we had Casey play even some second base before he came up, because we just thought, you know, the more positions he can play, the more configurations that we can have around the infield, you know, and feel like we have good defenders at every spot, the more different lineup looks we can have. So you've seen a lot of consistency in terms of our lineups, in terms of the guys batting in them, you know, at the top of the order. You know, we've had, you know, Lamont and Thyro pretty regularly, and then you've got, you know, some mix of Jock and J.D. Davis and Conforto and Haniger in the middle. And, you know, we've been batting some of the younger guys at the bottom of the order, even though they've been productive too. But I think just being able to get guys rest and rotate guys, you know, I know Cap and the coaching staff like to think about lineups and who's playing on a series-by-series basis. So, you know, if certain guys are playing 2 out of 3 instead of 3 out of 3, we think that's just going to help us in the long run.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Talking to Giants president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, on the UMA guest line. So we woke up the other day, and there was a tweet from Jim Bowden who'd said you'd come on his show on MLB Network Radio and said that you'd plan to be, quote, aggressive. Nobody can find the audio. We can't hear it anywhere. I'm not certain it happened. We've been talking about, like, yeah, I guess anybody could have said aggressive. Did you do that interview, Farhan? Can we get a comment on the potential aggressive nature of you guys at the deadline? And I kind of want to talk about what a deadline looks like now when with extra playoff teams. It's going to look a little different than it did a couple of years ago in 2021 when you guys were leading the division. First, what you said to Jim Bowden, and then we'll talk a little bit more deadline.
Yeah, if I say I didn't do the interview, will we just drop
it? We'll just move
it,
on, or, yeah. I'll have to take it at your word. I mean,
yeah, so, it was interesting. We start off with a conversation about the trade deadline in general, what it's going to look like. You've got a lot of teams that are in the race, and with the expanded playoffs, you know, it kind of tilts more towards the sellers than the buyers. You've got a lot of buyers out there trying to improve their teams and not that many sellers. And when you look at the standings now, doesn't look like they're going to be that many pure sellers around baseball. And then, you know, they're going to have limited inventory of guys that teams will view as players who could really impact a playoff race. So when asked about it, I mean, I obviously gave the usual caveats that it's a long way away, but, you know, none of the caveats made it into Jim Bowden's tweet.
So. Yeah, I noticed that. It was all meat and potatoes in the tweet. It was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, but, you know, there's sort of two sides to it. One is, you know, we're at a point now where we really want sort of the engine of this team to come from what we have in-house right now. I mean, when we look at guys like, you know, Luis Matos is playing really well in AAA, we don't really have a spot for him right now. And I think, you know, if he continues to produce, we may try to create one. But we've got a pretty deep team and deep roster. So, you know, a lot of times at the deadline, you have teams that are trying to fill holes, that have injuries, and are just trying to address weaknesses at the roster. The true impact talent, you know, isn't always available. And especially in a year like this year, where I think, you know, the buyer and seller balance, you know, it might be a really tough market if you're looking to improve your team. So, you know, if there are impact players available, I think we'll be in those discussions like every team that's intending to be in the playoff race. But, you know, in terms of kind of the you know, sixth inning reliever, back end starter types that, you know, a lot of times wind up changing teams around the deadline, we have a lot of that depth in-house, and we want to continue to give opportunities to young players. So I'm hoping that's where the kind of engine and the push to get to the playoffs comes from with this team.
When do you foresee Bart coming back? And when he does, do you foresee him, Sable, Bailey, I guess I could throw Schmidt in there too, I'll be on the roster for the foreseeable future, because there's going to be someone's going to have to leave when he comes on, or do you foresee him when he's ready even coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to see how Pat's doing. Obviously, he had this neck thing crop up, and okay, you know, that might make the decision for us. But, you know, we're going to probably meet with Joey tomorrow before the game and talk through the options. We wanted him to take this opportunity to get some at bats and get going offensively. Mm-hmm. So definitely want to check in with him and see how he's doing there. But again, like we talked about, it's a crowded roster, and we could carry three catchers, but, you know, then somebody else is probably coming off the team, or, you know, you're going one pitcher short. So it's a tough call, because, you know, I thought Blake did a great job today. Pat's obviously done a really nice job. And then Joey did a great job with the pitching staff earlier this season before he went down. So no decision made yet, but again, I think, you know, we had a bunch of guys come back over the last few days. The roster got pretty crowded, so it's going to make for a tough decision for us.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It's been great to see the lineup healthy. We were saying the other day, like, I don't know that there's one guy that I want up in any particular situation, because it's kind of a grinding lineup. Up and down, they're putting together good at-bats. I mean, Lamont at the top is like an assassin. He's like what Brandon Belt was doing up there, even better at times. And then you've got Pop from Tyro and multiple guys who can drive in runs. It's looking good up and down. I just want to follow up real quick on something you'd said about Luis Matos and more of a general question, because you said if he keeps performing like this, you know, we may have to make a spot for him. Guys who force their way onto rosters. Now, he's on the 40-man, right? It's a little bit different with him, where a spot wouldn't have to be created. So his path to the majors is a little bit different. But what's the threshold like that for you? I mean, not that if he hits five homers or does X, Y, and Z, but for a guy when you go, we don't necessarily have a spot, but this guy can help us right now at the big league level. It's not because of injury. It's because he's a better player than maybe some of the assets we have up here now. When do you come to that decision, and when do you sort of roll those bones?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. It winds up, you know, no matter what people say, it winds up being kind of circumstance related, injury related, as much as anything else. I mean, I look at what Luis is doing in Sacramento right now, and you can't help but be really excited. But, you know, some of the guys we've had on this team, Bryce Johnson and David Villar and Brett Wisely, those three guys all have, believe it or not, higher OPS numbers than Luis does in Sacramento. So, again, that's not to say that he couldn't come up and make a big impact. But, you know, we've got a pretty crowded outfield. We've got, you know, Mitch and Michael Conforto and Yaz and Jock and Slater. So we've got a kind of group that mixes and matches pretty well. I think it would probably take losing somebody for some period of time. But again, you never know. Different things can happen. And, you know, some of those guys can move around to different spots on the roster. So, again, I it's really exciting to see what he's doing. And, you know, one of the reasons we moved him up from Richmond to Sacramento was the fact that he was already on the 40-man roster. And, you know, when you're on the 40, you figure, hey, we want a guy, you know, an hour and a half away when we need somebody. It's a quick call and they can get over to the big league game. So his performance, his potential, and being on the 40-man roster are all things in his favor.
Anything you've noticed in terms of DeSclafani the last handful of starts that maybe was different from the start that he got off to, where he had one of the best whips in the league and one of the best ERAs in the league? He's scuffled a little bit. Is it just season stuff that happens going through a season, or is there something that, you know, that a pitch or whatever isn't acting the way it was, or sequencing? Anything?
Yeah, I just think that teams are looking at his strike percentage and his low walk numbers, and they're thinking, hey, let's swing the bats early. And, you know, he had a couple of starts against some younger teams, some really aggressive hitting teams, where his strike throwing probably hurt him, if anything. I mean, yeah, we're always going to want guys that throw strikes. But, you know, the report's kind of out a little bit that this is somebody who's going to throw a ton of strikes, throw quality strikes. You know, and it's probably going to get harder to hit him the deeper you get into an at-bat or a count. So swing early. And I think Tony knows that and is going to make the adjustment. Just being a little bit finer early in counts, knowing that guys are going to be aggressive, I know that's an adjustment that's already on his mind. I mean, we saw him early in the year. I thought his command of the slider was just unbelievable, both sides of the plate and keeping it out of the hitting zone. And, you know, I think he has it in mind to get back to that and be able to stay off barrels the way he was early on in the season. But, you know, you'll always take the strike thrower over somebody that's, you know, filling counts and walking guys. So, you know, I'll take my chances with a strike thrower any day.
Farhan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Farhan.
Thanks, Farhan.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.